one word that I can describe that game, and that was wow.
I went to this game. I paid $8 a ticket, and I want my money back.
Winning edition of You from Section 323? Sort of a winning edition, right?
Sort of.
Sort of. It has been, I mean, geez, it's been almost 11 months, it feels like, since the last time one of our teams had gotten a win. It's been a very, very long, long time. What do you think? Is it fool's gold? Was it and obviously we're talking about the Giants game playing Washington, but I mean, I don't know how much of this game you probably watched because I'm sure you were working, but it was probably expected 20-19, you know, low-scoring affair because, as we've said many, many times, the Giants' defense is not as bad as everyone thinks that they were going to be preseason. The offense obviously is struggles, and you know where that's obviously well documented. We know Washington basically has next to no offense because they told Dwayne Haskins don't even bother showing up anymore. So Kyle Allen was at the helm and almost made a valiant comeback with a little help from the refs, by the way, and I'll get into that in a moment, but. Nevertheless, we finally get a win. They're 1-5, and dare I say, if they somehow win on Thursday, they're going to be tied for first place in the NFC East.
It's absolutely insane to think that a 2-5 football team can be in first place in the division.
I laugh as I say how bad
the NFC East is.
I laugh as I say that. I couldn't keep a straight face as I was saying that.
Yeah, they are four of the worst teams of football.
Apparently, the
Cowboys players after last night's game came out and they are trashing their coaching staff, like everybody, including Mike McCarthy. They are just trashing them.
And by the way,
they're not prepared and they don't know how to coach. And
do you remember? Do you remember back in the springtime or whenever they hired Joe Judge? I forget exactly when it was. But everyone's like, I can't believe they let McCarthy go to Dallas. Dallas is going to be a Super Bowl contender. How could they not even give McCarthy an interview? I was saying the whole time, I don't want McCarthy. Now you can see why. Aaron Rodgers didn't want McCarthy and essentially threw him out of Green Bay. Now you can see why.
Okay, put all of that aside.
It's true.
Dallas is clearly missing Dak Prescott, and it just goes to show you how valuable he is
to
that team.
Yes, that is true. Dallas.
What?
I'm agreeing with you. They're missing Dak. Dallas's problem is their offensive line is completely destroyed. Absolutely destroyed. Lyle Collins hurt. Zach Martin hurt. Travis Frederick had to retire because he had the neck injury or the neck, I forget what it was. And I can't remember the fourth guy. Their entire offensive line that's been so good for so long is essentially dissolved into nothing. Zeke put the ball on the ground twice last night.
Well, that's not on the offensive line. That's on Zeke not holding on to the football.
Well, yeah, but Zeke's not used to getting hit, you know, at the line of scrimmage. He's used to roaming, you know, free down the field, and now he's getting hit at the line of scrimmage. So anyway,
you sound like a pure Dallas hater.
I mean, oh, I am. I make no bones about that.
Listen, we all know that you are, Phil. Most Giants fans can't stand the Cowboys. It's like in their blood.
I don't think anybody outside.
I'm a Rangers fan. I hate the Islanders and I hate the Flyers. It's just like ingrained. And I can't stand the Devils either. But
I don't think anybody outside of Dallas can stand Dallas. But that's my opinion. Anyway, let's bring it back.
America's team.
Exactly. Yeah, America's team. Exactly. That's exactly my point. So, all right. Let's bring it back here a little bit because I want to go over a couple things that I did like about this and a few things I didn't. Daniel Jones, you know he's basically the leading rusher on the team now that Saquon Barkley isn't there.
You know, I was looking over the stats and I was going to make that point tonight. It's bad enough that he's not really playing what you would call lights out quarterback play. I mean, he's still turning the football over.
But he cannot be your leading rusher,
and we go. Yeah, but we go over this week after week. Like,
yeah, no, he can't. No, absolutely not.
He's. No offense to Daniel Jones, because I mean he's in the NFL, and obviously he's talented enough to play starting quarterback for an NFL franchise, and there's only 32 of those jobs, right? But he is not Russell Wilson.
No,
he is not Kyler Murray. Like, he should not be running the ball as much as he is. Devontae Freeman had 18 carries for, you know, what, 60 yards? I mean, 3 yards a carry is not good enough from your running play. And as long as their offense is not going to be balanced, they're not going to be powerhousing down offensively. I mean, he only threw the ball 19 times. Is that a product of Washington just not being a very good football team? Probably.
Probably.
But, you know, when you score 20 points in the NFL, like, chances are, you know, 7 out of 10 times, you're not going to win those football games. The offenses are way better than that. You just ran into a Washington team that is completely inept on offense. Were they lucky? Like, I watched a decent amount of this game. Washington could have won this game with a two-point conversion at the end of the game. You know, Kyle Allen drove them all the way down the field. Well, the Giants defense, I don't know what they were doing. They were playing, you know, what I like to call New York Jets loser football defense at the end of the game, where they're playing all zone. You know, the Giants were very lucky in this regard. I mean, they could have lost. And, you know, if they had called the right play on the two-point conversion,
Good old Riverboat Ron, right? Going for the win.
Yeah, listen, I give him credit for putting.
I do too.
For putting, you know, faith in his offense. I mean, there are 1-4.
You're also 1-4. So what do you have to lose?
You go for the win, but at the same point, I mean, you go for the tie there. You go into overtime, and maybe your chances are a little bit better. You know, I mean, hindsight's 20/20.
If this team was 4-1,
they're not a very. Yeah, I mean, the Giants are not a very good football team.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Their defense is good. It's not great. It's good. But their offense is just they're not gonna win many football games if they're just scoring 20 points.
Nope. So I'm gonna bring it back to the drive in the third quarter where they went on another. I'll give them an impressive 14 play drive that ate up 9 minutes of clock, which ended up in an interception. Now, you said you saw a lot of that game. Did you see the interception?
The one where they returned it for a touchdown, right?
No. The one where Daniel Jones threw an interception in the end zone.
That one I did not see.
Okay. So, Daniel Jones appeared to throw an interception.
Which, by the way, is like every week. Every week I feel like there's a red zone interception, but keep on.
So, in this case, you're right. Yes, I agree. Every week. This case, it would have been no interceptions, no turnovers, because let me tell you something, and anyone who's listening or anyone who's a Giants fan actually saw this game, the moment the Washington football team player appeared to have caught the ball, he had 1 foot down and the elbow hits the chalk, okay? The elbow hits the white, well, because there's no chalk. The elbow hits the white, and you see the little, you know, tire pieces fly up in the air. So they go to commercial. I'm like, there's no chance that was an interception. Even the announcer's like, yeah, you see his elbow touch the thing. And even Dean Blandino, whoever the stupid guy they had in the booth, he's like, yeah, I'm not sure that was an interception. What do they do? Come back to the field. Stans is calling the field. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? There is no chance that was an interception when your elbow's on the out-of-bounds line. So is that an interception or is it not an interception? It's not. I'll answer for you.
Okay.
That was my mind was blown with that. The point of that is, at that point, it was 13-10 Giants. They're basically in the red zone. All right, if you kick a field goal, it's 16-13. But you score in there, it's 20-10. The game is, you know, essentially out of reach right there.
Yeah.
I get it, but listen.
That
really bothered me. And no one was like, well.
Listen, I love you, but every week you seem to be making excuses for why, you know, the refs.
No, but they actually won the game.
Listen, the officiating in the NFL this year has not been great.
It just bothered me.
It's not just the Giants. It's all across the league.
I know.
All across the league.
But it's like, you know, we've already had a ton of bad luck with injuries, and the line's not good, and we're sitting here at 0-5, and it's like, you know, just give us something. It's like they have to work so much harder to try and get a win around here.
The O-line is so bad that you benched your rookie left tackle that you drafted. What number did they draft him? 6th overall?
Yeah, but the point, yes, but he's not supposed to be the left guard. He's only the left guard because Nate Solder retired.
Is he playing the position that he's playing right now?
Well, no, because they put someone else in instead. He wasn't drafted.
You're missing my point. What position is he playing right now?
Well, I don't know it because he's not playing left tackle.
Well, what position is he playing?
I don't know. I saw the same report that you read that they put someone else in there. I forget the name of the person. But anyway,
what position?
I don't know. I don't know.
What position was he playing last week?
Oh, right, left tackle.
Okay.
He was not drafted as a left tackle, by the way.
As the worst left tackle in the NFL right now. Now, they didn't draft him as a left tackle, right?
Right, correct.
Right, but Nate Solder is on
he's on I'm not playing out, this right? year, yes.
Okay. So, regardless of where he was drafted, they felt that he was strong enough and talented enough to play left tackle.
Well, I don't know. I don't even know if they had an option.
He's terrible.
I agree. I don't know if they had an option. That's like a point guard being like, all right, you're going to play center now. Well, what? You didn't draft me to be a center. I'm a point guard. You know what I'm saying? Left tackle is arguably one of the most – is probably the top five positions on a football team, right? Your quarterback, your running back, your defensive end, and probably your left tackle, right? That's probably one of your top five
I would say that he's rated higher – he's more important than the running back.
All right. Well, you're right. So that position is very, very important, and – I don't know. I don't feel it's something you could be just thrown into and be like, all right, you're going to play left tackle now. I don't know. That's just my opinion. So I give the guy a little bit of leeway. But anyway, I feel like we're throwing shade on the victory around here, but that's okay because they're 1-5. I want to talk about that Daniel Jones run again because that was nice. That was a scripted play, and he just – I mean, the camera got faked out. I mean, we're all watching Devonta Freeman get tackled. He's got knocked at the ball, and Daniel Jones running down the field 49 yards. So I just – I like that, but a few of the things we didn't like. Listen, there was no pass rush. Kyle Allen was sacked 3 times. I don't even remember them because it felt like it was so infrequent. There's no pass rush whatsoever, and it's probably not going to change for the rest of the year, but that's just, I mean, anybody can see. You and me could be sitting back there in those pockets, so we're not going to get sacked. I mean, yes, I know they got the strip sack.
Well, I don't know about that, Phil. I mean,
we're not very mobile, but.
Mobile? Yes.
I know we'll talk, everyone will say, well, they got the strip sack fumble. Yeah, that was great. I'm just saying for the entire game, there was just no pass rush. Like, he was just sitting back there all day doing whatever he wanted to. He had 42 attempts. I mean, they threw the ball 42 times and they had 3 sacks. I don't know. I feel like that should be a little more. This doesn't tell me the pressures and the hurries and the knockdowns, but I don't feel like there was much of anything. And that's just one thing I would wish they would improve on. I know the trade deadline is coming up, and I saw some things that they'd be like, well, the Giants should be sellers, but who are they selling? who are they trading? I didn't really read the article, but
there's talent on this football team that they
right, but you're not going to blow it up.
It would certainly not behoove them to get rid of them. No. I mean, there's not much talent on the offensive side to begin with. You don't want to be the New York Jets that are clearly, at this point, completely tanking.
Didn't they just trade someone to Tampa?
They just traded Steve McClendon.
That's right.
Not to say that he was, the end all be all nose tackle, but at the same point, like, you just traded away a team captain immediately after the game. Like, the game wasn't even over yet.
They had the paperwork in hand.
I was listening to the post game, and they're already talking about how they just traded him. Like, the game is 5 minutes complete.
The guy's still in the shower.
He's not even in the shower yet. The coach is talking whatever bullshit Adam Gase is talking about. He's still in his pads, and he just got traded.
He's probably like, hey, I got some bad news for you. You've just been traded. He's like, is that really bad news?
He's probably happy because he doesn't want to play for the Jets.
Oh,
anyway,
man.
Keep talking about the Giants. Yeah. I got enough shit to talk about.
Oh,
the
I
Jets.
Know. But yeah, I mean, listen, it was nice to finally sit there, you know. Being able to see touchdowns, see scoring, root for something. It was just, I finally had a Sunday. It's been a very, very long time, but it was nice to finally get a win. But like we just talked about, there's no easy wins because I had to sit there and sweat till the very last play of the game. So we'll take it. You know, we'll take a win. Now you get to play a short week on Thursday Night Football, which, by the way, you're already 6-point underdogs, which explain to me how you are 6-point underdogs to a team that is 1-4-1, has just as much problem on the offensive line as you do, just lost the hell's his name? Who's the running back there?
Miles Sanders and Zach Ertz.
And Zach Ertz, right. You don't have Alshon Jeffery. You have a taxi squad of people at receiver who you've never even heard of, but yet you're going to be six-point underdogs?
Listen, I'm going to explain to you why they're six-point underdogs. You ready for this?
I just don't see it.
No, but I'm going to tell you why.
It should be a pick 'em.
No, it shouldn't be, because when push comes to shove, the most important position on the field, Philadelphia has the edge. Carson Wentz, they were down how many points to Baltimore last week?
I know where you're going. They were down a lot.
Okay, and if it were not for Carson Wentz, that game would have been completely – Carson Wentz literally brought them back into the game.
With
zero weapons, with a bad offensive line, with a shoddy defense, and no weapons around him because they're all hurt, Carson Wentz brought them within a 2-point conversion of tying that football game. That's why they're 6-point underdogs, because Daniel Jones has not proven that he can go through a game without turning the football over. His offense has not proven that they can offensively keep up with other teams. Defensively, they're playing okay. But do you know Daniel Jones, in all of his professional career in the NFL, and I think it's like 17 games, there's been one game that he has not turned the football over? One game.
It's got to change, I know.
That is not good. That's not going to win you football games, Phil. And regardless of how bad Philadelphia is right now and how little weapons they have, it's going to come down to what team is going to make the mistakes. And right now the Giants make more mistakes than any other team in the league other than Dallas. And the Jets, because the Jets is just a friggin' disaster.
And we'll gloat about the Dallas getting shellacked against Arizona in a little bit, but no, I don't.
Do you agree? Do you agree with me?
No, I don't disagree with anything. I'd still take the points. Whether or not they win the game is a different story.
It's a short week. This is a tough one for me because. Again, if you look on paper, both teams are pretty equal, and the only thing that they are not equal on is quarterback play. And I just think that Carson Wentz, although he's not playing like he did three or four years ago.
Oh, that's out the window.
Right, I get that, but he's better than Daniel Jones. I mean, you see something in Daniel Jones that can say, okay, he can take it to the next level.
He just got to get to that level.
To the next level. But he's... First off, he's not winning any games throwing only 19 times a game, and he can't turn the football over. And if he continues to turn the football over, this team is only going to go as far as Daniel Jones goes.
Yeah,
but especially without Saquon. If they're not doing anything, on a short week, you know what?
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. But I'll take Philadelphia. I just feel all like right. There's just I think it'll be a close game, but, I mean, it could easily be a 28-21 kind of game, right?
Yes.
21-14, 21-13.
I kind of get the impression it's going to be what the Giants-Washington game was. It's going to be, you know, like you said, 24-21, 20-19. It's going to be in that area. It's not going to be a blowout, and I don't think it's going to be a 6-6 game or 6-9 game, whatever. It's going to be right in this, right about what they've been doing. You know, we saw them score 34 points against Dallas, but that was an anomaly because everyone runs over Dallas. The Giants have been scoring 11 points a game for the first 4 weeks prior to that. This is a little bit of an improvement because I think we can agree Washington has a pretty good defense. So I feel like we're going to have the same kind of game.
Their defense isn't terrible.
Yeah. I feel we're going to have the same kind of grinded out game. So I would still take the points. I don't know if I pick them to win. But I would definitely take the points. So, we will. You know, the problem is, I wish they picked a different Thursday because you got the presidential debate on Thursday too. It's like, what am I going to watch here? Because both are going to be highly entertaining for me personally.
Well, I'm not getting into that.
I know, no, I'm not getting into it either. But it's I know where my eyes are going to be. Let's put it that way. We all know where my eyes are going to be.
Picture in picture.
Picture in picture doesn't exist anymore, does it?
Dude, I don't know.
Does your TV
have
picture in picture?
I work. What?
I said, does your TV have picture-in-picture option? Because I don't think mine does. And if it does, I have no idea to find it. That was big.
One of those big tube TVs. So
yeah. That was big when it came out. I haven't seen that in a long, long time.
I don't know if this could. I mean, we stream TV, so I don't even know if that even exists.
Yes.
Don't think it does on when you stream TV.
So over the last few weeks, we've seen coaches get released. We see Fitzpatrick giving the reins up to Tua. For this point
which
forward.
Which is crazy to me. I do not understand.
I agree.
I get that you draft Tua to be the future of the franchise. This team is in second place in the AFC East, and they are in a playoff spot currently. Like, with Fitz playing, like, he's had two interceptions against the Jets. But that's Fitz being Fitz. I mean, he still played great.
Yeah, the two interceptions kind of baked in. You know you have that risk. I'm with you. I don't get it.
I don't get why make the change right now. I mean, there are three and three football team. They're right there. They're a game out of the AFC East. I mean, I just don't understand why the switch needs to be made right now. And we both had talked about when that change was going to come, and we both thought it would be somewhere around this time, about week 7 or week 8.
Except Fitzpatrick is playing much, much better than anyone thought.
I totally agree. Now you can't go back to Fitz.
No, unless he gets hurt.
Now that you are making the transition to Tua, you can't go back to him. I mean, I just feel like it was an inevitable change, but maybe the change is coming too fast. Part of me feels bad for Fitz,
I don't think he cares, to be honest with you. I don't think he does either.
I mean, yeah. I think he's a team player, and he's a good quarterback, and he loves being around the guys, which is important. But at the same time, I don't get why it's right now.
Right. No, I think he was just going out there having fun, knowing, is this Fitz's last year? We've been saying that for 5 years now. But he's like, yeah, whatever. I'll go out and have fun. If I play well, I play well. If not, and obviously he knew the writing was on the wall. Probably the only reason is that you're at the bye. Tua's obviously not hurt anymore. And you're like, well, let's throw him in there. But it was really weird to see that this morning. I didn't get it. But anyway. Yeah, let's dive into that Washington. I got my mind on there on the Miami Jets game, because I'm sure you have a bunch of thoughts about this.
So it's funny. We did the podcast last week, and I got a couple text messages saying that I'm too negative and whatever. And
I don't think you were negative enough. I'm used to it.
You and I have been friends for years. I mean, you know that I'm not really the most optimistic person in the world. What I will say is this: nothing surprises me at this point. The ineptitude of this football team, the incompetence, the non-coach, the failure to be prepared for football games, the fact that he again is continuing to, It doesn't say a ton, but it says enough. The coach is sitting on the sideline by himself, just reading a playbook that doesn't exist. Their offense is so bad. Like, I was listening to the radio today, and a caller called in, and they said they've been a Jets fan their entire life, and the 1-15 team in 1996 that was coached by Rich Kotite could beat this team, and I remember that team. I was young enough, but I do remember how bad that team was.
I remember that team
because I watched every game. I watched every game with my dad, and that team could beat this team. This team is on another level.
Well, that's
bad.
The same team that had Rex Ryan come in the next year and basically make a playoff spot, right?
No, not Rex Ryan. It was Bill Parcells.
Oh, Parcells. That's right.
It was 1996.
You're right. That's right. Parcells. But it was essentially the same team.
It was an exact you know, except a different coach and a different system, and the team got better. The fact that this guy still has his job, I mean, the only thing that I can think of, and this is like way outside the box thinking, right, is that he went to Chris Johnson and said, listen, this is the plan. The plan is to just be as shitty as possible and tank.
Well, they're sticking to that
plan. We can get Trevor Lawrence. That's the only plan. The problem is that how do you allow this guy to continue to coach this football team? They're not even prepared. Him and Greg Williams are getting into it on the sideline before the game even starts.
Oh, that's right.
Greg Williams comes out on Friday and basically says, listen, we're giving up points, but not all of the points are from the defense. A lot of it is from the offense, which, by the way, that's just like, oh, my God. Like, it's a fucking circus. I said it last week. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse every single week. And, like, you look at this team, and, like, I love football. I say this all the time. I'm not even interested in watching the football games anymore. They are so unwatchable and so uncompetitive. Why do I even waste my time? They're an 0-6 football team. There's not a single game on the rest of their schedule that's winnable. Not a single game. Buffalo has not played great the last 2 weeks. Josh Allen has not played great the last 2 weeks. They're going to come in and they're going to shit because the Jets are going to suck. Sam Darnold's probably not going to play. Joe Flacco looks – I mean, oh, my God, how bad does Joe Flacco look? He looks terrible. And I said it last week. Why is he throwing the ball 44 times? At a certain point in the game, they were just giving the ball to Frank Gore, and they were throwing the ball to Frank Gore. Is Adam Gase so spiteful that he says, you know what, I'm going to prove that we can run the ball and that we can throw the ball to our running backs, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. We don't need Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell is laughing to the fucking bank because he's literally got a Super Bowl ring on his hand already. So nobody's going to beat the Chiefs. And when the Chiefs play the Jets next week, it could be a 3-point spread. That's how bad this football team is.
I don't think there's a spread out yet. I'll look while you're talking. What do you think the spread's going to be?
For the Chiefs Jets game.
For the Chiefs Jets game.
So now I'm gonna pull this because I did hear something on the radio today on the Michael Kay show because I listen to him every single day. So the largest spread in NFL history was 27 points in 1976. So it was obviously a team versus the expansion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now the Jets are being this year they're being compared to an expansion team. They are that bad. They are completely inept. They have no talent. Their offensive line is garbage. Their quarterback play is so bad. It's embarrassing how bad it is. They have no weapons. Their defense is just so – they don't know how to tackle. They're giving up running plays at, like, at an enormous clip. Miles Gaskin, who nobody ever heard of before, was just running to the football. On one drive, they gave him the ball 3 times in a row, and he ran for, like, 50 yards on 3 plays. They can't tackle anybody. So, anyway, going back to it, they are predicting right now if Joe Flacco is the quarterback, the spread is going to be somewhere between 25 and 28 points.
Oh my God.
If Sam Darnold is the quarterback, which we don't know if he's going to come back next week, it's between 18 and 20 points.
And it's a Le'Veon Bell revenge game.
We're a week away. We still got to play the Bills. So we're really, you know, almost four, you know, we're 10 days away. But that's already what Vegas is saying the spread is going to be.
Yeah, I can't find it right now. I looked really quick, and I'll have to – we'll obviously have it next week. But, man, that's incredible. I mean, that's a college spread. That's a college line.
Clemson beat Georgia Tech this week 73-7. It was 73-6, I think it was. I don't.
I hope Trevor Lawrence likes lime. I hope Trevor Lawrence likes green.
Listen, I'm telling you, and I say it all every week to you and to Dan privately through text messages, and I don't need to say it on this, and I don't need to say it on the three-man booth, which, by the way, you guys can check out on BuzzJump. If I were him, he has one more year of eligibility left. If I knew that I was going to go play for the New York Jets, and right now, the Jets are going to have the number one pick. I honestly don't see them winning an entire game. I don't see them winning a game.
An entire game.
I don't see them winning anything, to be quite honest with you. They don't win the fucking coin flip, let alone a game. If I were him and I said, oh my God, I can go back to Clemson and I can win a national championship and I can throw for 400 yards and a half.
Yeah, right.
Which is basically what he did against Georgia Tech.
So you know what's interesting?
Why in your right mind would you say, you know what, I'm going to go play for the Jets? They seem like the franchise that I want to do my – I want to be a career player with the New York Jets. I wouldn't want to be a career player for the New York Jets.
So as it
I wouldn't even want the paycheck.
As it stands right now, so the Jets are 0-6. Washington, the Giants, the Falcons, the Jaguars, the Vikings, the Dolphins, the Chargers, the Eagles, and the Bengals all – have only one win. So.
Yeah, no, I get it. Trust me, I get it. But I don't. We go through this each week. There's nowhere on the schedule where I feel like they're going to win a football game.
And sometimes when we saw the original schedule and the bye week was between the Dolphins game, so they play the Dolphins, go to a bye, go to the Dolphins game, you would think just because it's, you know, a division foe, you know them so well that, you know, maybe you split one of those two. I obviously they're not playing the Dolphins essentially back to back, but you're right. The Bills, the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Chargers. With you were talking about Tua before not going back to Fitzpatrick. The Chargers are not going back to Tyrod Taylor because Justin Herbert's throwing for 500 yards a game himself. So if we
Justin Herbert is the real deal. The only thing that I could see them winning is maybe they can win against the Dolphins, and this is not a knock on the Dolphins.
Because against Tua now.
Just obviously just shut them out. It's not a knock on Tua either. You just don't know what Tua is.
You're right. He has no experience yet. So that's valid.
Right. He has no experience. So, I mean, if he comes out and he's lighting it up the next 3 weeks before they get the Jets game.
Then there's no chance, right?
There's zero chance. I mean, if Fitz continued to play the way that he was playing and they didn't make the switch now, which, again, we just talked about, we don't understand, I would be more apt to say the Jets have zero chance to win another football game. The only chance that I see them winning is this other game against Miami because we have no idea what Tua is going to be. If Tua plays like he did in Alabama, the Jets have no shot. No shot.
Well, I mean,
no shot.
You'd argue he has better weapons than he had in Alabama.
Slightly.
Well,
slightly.
You're
playing
with professionals now.
Professional football players.
You're playing with professionals now.
But the offense is not balanced. Again, 44 throws by Joe Flacco. Not enough carries on the ground. Michael P. Ryan.
I was going to bring him up. Why is he not getting any carries?
Why is he not getting any carries?
I don't get it.
What is the point of drafting a running back in the third and fourth round if you're just going to sit him on the bench? Frank Gore is 39 years old. I know he's not 39, he's 37, but I'm exaggerating. But you understand my point.
In like, football years, he's like 50.
He's not the answer. This team is 0-6. They have nothing to play for.
Yeah, there's no reason.
Awful football team. Why don't you see what you have in LaMichael Pirine?
7 for 27. That's not terrible.
And then what's the point? What's the point of drafting him then?
Because Gase loves Frank Gore for some weird reason.
Give me a fucking break, Phil. He can't coach. He cannot coach. It's the same. Do you know that the Jets, out of all the NFL teams, they have the least movement prior to snap? And I don't mean like false starts. I mean men in motion, people moving around. Repositioning the defense so that the quarterback can make a read if it's zone, if it's man, if it's cover two, whatever kind of defense it is, they just don't move anybody. They line up to the line of scrimmage and they just stand there like fucking Michelangelo with his penis hanging out. They do nothing.
No, I did not know that stat. That's actually a funny stat.
It's not a funny stat. It's an accurate stat. If you move a man in motion, you can find out almost immediately if it's man,
yep.
if it's zone, if it's whatever.
Agreed.
Right? They don't even move anybody. They move. It's like, but every running play is through the tackles. There's nothing to the outside. You want to know why there's nothing to the outside? Because their offensive line sucks. They can't pull the offensive line out to block to the outside. And their running back is too old that he can't get to the outside.
I mean, you can't pull a guard or something around here? I used to do that in high school.
Whoa.
I'm great. I mean, at least we can laugh about it now. That was my thought coming into this is LaMichael Pirine, just give him the ball. There's no, what do you got to lose? There's no reason. Maybe he's going
to
be the next
nothing to lose.
LaDainian Tomlinson for all we know. But if you don't give him the ball, we're not going to see it.
You're never going to find out.
Thank God Breshad Perriman came back, huh?
Who?
I said thank God Breshad Perriman came back to the lineup.
Phil. He didn't play good either.
Hey, 4 for 62. No, that's not terrible.
Nobody played well.
No, I'm not saying that.
Well. Do you know that it took until 5 minutes into the fourth quarter for the Jets to make their first third down conversion? They punted 12 straight times.
So up here in my country, in my part of Connecticut, we all know there was only two games on 4 o'clock. It was the Green Bay and Tampa Bay, and then it was the Jets and the Dolphins. Well, which one do you think I got? Not the Jet game.
Oh, you got the Tampa Bay game.
Yeah. Although I did watch a ton of Red Zone, so they were flipping back and forth.
Why would anybody in their right mind other than the New York market want to watch a Jets game?
And did the New York market even want to watch that game?
Here's how bad the Jets are, okay? 3 years ago, the Jets played New England on Christmas Eve.
That was four years ago. Oh, no, never mind.
It was 3 years ago.
That was Jets Giants. That was Jets Giants. I'm thinking Jets Giants when we were there.
We went down to my in-laws a day early for Christmas so I could watch the football game. And halfway through the third quarter, they turned that shit off. This team is worse than that team. It is very hard for me right now, currently, as a Jets fan. As a football fan, to even watch these games.
Mm-hmm.
Your team has potential. Like, you can see the growth. You can see the potential in the players. You can see the potential in the quarterback, regardless of whether or not he's making interceptions and turnovers and everything else. There seems to be, a plan. They're competitive. They're scoring points, and their defense is playing well. On the other side, the Jets, they're completely inept in every single facet of the game. Special teams is terrible. It could be the worst offense in the history of the NFL at this point. Their defense can't stop anybody. They don't know how to tackle. Greg Williams is pushing blame to everybody else other than himself. He's not calling a very good game plan. It's just really, really bad. And the more we talk about it each and every week, how much more can I say about it? It's. Do you know that the Jets haven't been shut out since 2010?
No, I didn't.
The last time the Jets were shut out was in 2010. Okay, they were shut out by the Green Bay Packers 9-0. I remember very vividly watching that game. Okay. It wasn't because it was the defense or the offense. It was two really good football teams playing each other. Okay. By the way, the Jets finished 11-5 that year, and if Mark Sanchez just handed the fucking ball off on the 1 yard line, the Jets are going to the Super Bowl that year. Okay,
I remember that. We all remember.
Oh yeah, I remember that too because that like ripped my heart out because it's the last time they were good. Like, so it's not like that team was inept. That team was a really good football team, This is the complete opposite of that. They were 6-1 going into that football game against Green Bay, and then they lost it, and they still went 11-5. The This is not the same thing. But it's been 10 years since you've been shut out. This is complete ineptitude. Complete. And I don't, again, the only reason I think this coach still has his job is he's gone to Chris Johnson and said, listen, this is part of our plan. Our plan is to tank. We get a new quarterback because we don't believe in Sam, which, by the way, I don't even know how you can judge Sam because he has no weapons. And now when he comes back and he's healthy, he's got no running game. He has nobody at the wide receiver position. You're trading off all of your assets. You got to think Perriman is gone. He's only on a one-year deal anyway. Crowder's probably gone pretty soon, too, because people are looking at him. He's not going to have anybody to throw the football to and nobody to hand the football off to.
Right. So
how do you think that it's the quarterback's fault? Ryan Tannehill is like number four in the league in MVP voting right now.
Thank God for Ryan Tannehill last week for me. Thank God. Nobody cares about my fantasy.
Understand my point.
No, of course I do.
This everybody wrote Tannehill off, and I know I said this the last 2 weeks. Everybody wrote Tannehill off like he was a garbage football player. He's a great football player. And I would hate to see the franchise give up on Sam because this coach is so bad and so inept that he goes off to another team and he turns into Ryan Tannehill.
Right.
I would hate to see that because it's not fair to us as a fan base.
And what's the what's the guarantee you tank for Trevor Lawrence? What's the guarantee Gase is even going to be there to coach him?
Well, I mean –
because let's put it
okay, that was my other thing that I was going to say, you know, 5 minutes ago before I went on this tangent. If he is somehow convincing this ownership that, listen, this is all part of the plan, we're going to tank, and they still keep him next year.
Exactly.
You can't keep, you cannot keep him if he goes 0-16. They shouldn't keep him now. I don't mind losing as a Jets fan. I'm used to losing. I'm used to bad seasons. I'm used to 10 seasons. This is another level of bad. They're not even competitive in any of their games. I took the Dolphins last week, and you and Dan said, oh, are you sure you're going to take them at 10 points?
Oh, that's right. You did say that.
24 points. They won by 24 points.
You're right. I asked you.
They didn't even score a point.
I asked you at what point last week you were going to stop, and you said, I'd stop at 12, but you could have kept going. You're right.
The only red zone possession that they had, they sacked Flacco for a 22-yard loss. They took him out of field goal range.
Pushed him out of field goal range.
Where the hell is he running to?
Just fall down.
He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Throw the goddamn ball out of bounds. Maybe. Where are you running? You're running back to the other 40-yard line. Oh, my God.
I mean, listen. If we can't laugh about it, then what's? Oh, it's. If the Jets played the Cowboys right now, next week, could the Jets win that game?
No.
Why not?
Because Dallas's offense has the potential of still going off, even with Andy Dalton. And you saw it last year. The Jets played Andy Dalton last year when Cincinnati was winless, and Andy Dalton came in and lit him up.
Yes. All right. Valid point.
Okay, valid point.
Valid point. Thank All right, you. Point taken. Point taken. In fact, didn't they give two winless teams their first wins last year?
Blow me, Phil. Yes, they did.
Cincinnati and Miami, that's right. That's what Miami was winless too.
The only team in NFL history to do that.
Man, they're on the wrong side of the history books there.
But then you look at all of these pontificators and they say, oh, well, they finished the season 7-9, and they went 6-1 or, you know, at the end of the year, and, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and you look at the hope that they had for this year.
It was fool's gold. It was fool's gold.
It's not fool's gold, Phil. It's just really bad. But this, again, like I wrote in my article last week, this starts from the top. The ownership is bad. It's been bad for 20 years. And yes, they've had glimpses of hope and they've had, you know, playoff runs and went to back-to-back AFC championship games. And
that was a long time ago.
It was 10 years ago. And, I mean, like, we were close, right? So I mean, they haven't been bad for 20 years, but the way that this team has evolved over the last 2 years, it's so bad, and a lot of it goes from the ownership picking the coach. The coach clearly not know what he's doing. Did you watch any of this game?
I did, because I had it on Red Zone, so they were flipping back and forth between the two, because obviously if the Green Bay game went to commercials, they flipped over to the Jet game. So I got to see a good amount of this game, yes.
Okay, so
it was a lot of three and outs, though, like you said. It was a lot of three and outs.
I don't know. I did not take a picture of it. At one point, I'd be curious to see if either of us could find this, but it doesn't really matter. At one point during the broadcast, they showed what Adam Gase's numbers were as an offensive coordinator since Denver.
You mean his?
So it went to as an offensive coordinator and a head coach, right? So he in charge of the offense since he left Peyton Manning.
His winning percentage?
So that no.
Okay.
His
because I have that too.
Coach his. His offensive ranks.
Okay.
So let me see if I can find it first.
So while you're looking for that, they did mention another stat that Adam Gase is now 30-40 as a head coach, and I think it was 31 of the 40 losses were by double figures, double digits. So that's why that's saying every time you lose, you're getting basically the crap kicked out of you every time you lose, 95% of the time. I don't know if you heard that, but that's not good. Oh, did you find it?
No, I'm looking.
Okay.
I forgot what it was.
It couldn't have been good.
Well, I can't find it. But the moral of the story is that they showed his ranking from a team. He's in the bottom five every single year.
But somehow the Jets were like, you know what? We're going to hire Adam Gase. This is our guy.
They claim he's an offensive genius.
Yeah. Where is it?
I do not. I just don't get it. And you can fight me, you know, tooth and nail about this. It comes down to coaching. And maybe – and the only way – and again, you know, the other you know, conspiracy theory of what the Jets are doing right now is that – maybe they're keeping him because they know they're not going to win any games with him. Like to Dan's point, Dan and I got into this, not an argument, but a discussion last week about
a spirited debate.
You know, yeah, call it that. Like, you keep him for the whole year, right? And you basically guaranteed yourself an 0-16 team with him as the head coach. If you make the change now, you may win two games because they're inspired to play football and you don't get the number one overall pick. Right? Like, but yep. That goes back to what are you trying to prove to the fan base? Are you trying to prove to us that you're trying to tank? Because if you're trying to tank, one, you're doing a pretty damn good job of it. And two, like, I don't get it. I just don't get why you would want to tank. And then, I don't know.
Yeah. No, but what you were saying before is with the Giants side of the house, if you're going to lose, that's fine. I don't mind losing, but at least lose and show something, right? At least be like, all right, I can see a few glimpses here. I can see a few glimpses there. It's going to get better over time. You accept the losing now because you can see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. That's not the case with here, and that's the problem. That's
the problem.
75 points over six games. That's 12 points a game. So offensive genius, my ass, right? Where's the offensive genius? 12 points a game is no genius. You want to talk about not scoring 20 points or scoring 20 points a game and not winning football games? Scoring 12 ain't gonna happen either. At all.
No. And they are bottom of the barrel in every single offensive and defensive category. It's not like, oh, they're playing really bad offensively. But they're playing so defensively. They're not doing that.
All right, so let me see. So I got Buffalo's line here. Do you know what it is? Do you want to guess it?
They are the worst ranked. Do you want to know what? So they are averaging 12.5 points a game in 6 weeks. The only team better than them is Giants. They are ranked 32 in offense, which is surprising to me that the Giants are ranked 16. But, it doesn't – it's not overly surprising.
Wait, so the Giants are 31 and the Jets are 32?
Jets are 32.
Right. No, we went through that, a few weeks ago. And you know, the 35 points against Dallas will help that a tick, but – We knew that. That was the they were basically 1 and 2 at the bottom there.
And the Jets are ranked 29th in total defense, giving up an average of 30.8 points. So if you're scoring 12 points, if you're scoring 12 points a game and you're giving up 30 points a game, as my old hockey coach used to say, we will not win if we don't score more goals than them. That simple.
That's very good advice. So
if we score more goals than them tonight, we'll win. Yeah, thanks, Libby.
So we saw Buffalo kind of lay an egg against Kansas City on Monday afternoon, which, by the way, was kind of fun to watch a game on at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. A little weird because it's in dinner time and bedtime for the kids, so I couldn't really sit there and enjoy it, but it was nice to kind of have it on in the background. So be that as it may, Josh Allen did not look good, right? Did not look good at all.
Bad weather.
Yeah, bad weather. So –
And Kansas City figured out how to run the football.
Well, that's all they did.
But maybe that was part of the plan. So
that was the most rushing yards a Andy Reid team had ever have in his coaching. I think it said either in his
ever.
Kansas City career or his ever. Yeah, it was ever. The most rushing
ever.
Yards under him. Now,
yep.
Now you're going to add Le'Veon Bell to that too, by the way. That's a whole different story.
He didn't even dress this week. I mean,
he wasn't ready to play. He's not
an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they mentioned on the broadcast, they go, oh, by the way, now you're going to add Le'Veon Bell to this. Christ. You know what's going to happen. He's going to play his first game, and he's going to go for 100 yards and a score, and you'd be like, what the hell? Where was this? And we know where it is. It's just not Adam Gase was not letting it happen. So, all right. Buffalo, Jets. Do you know the spread, or do you want to guess it?
I don't know the spread.
Because this is like a get-well game for Buffalo now.
I'm going to say it's 12 points.
You're close. It's 13. Buffalo minus 13.
Oh, my God. 13.
Now, would you lay the word with complete confidence?
Listen, I was willing to go up to 10 for the Miami game. I guess it all depends on who's the quarterback, right? Like, I don't think Sam's playing this week.
I still think, which
is even more surprising that they even let him back in that Denver game that he's going to play. I mean, if he can't play the next 3 weeks, but anyway.
Well, the adrenaline's rushing and the blood's flowing. It didn't have time to swell up or anything, so.
Yeah, give me a break, whatever. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, whatever. If Flacco is the quarterback, I would say lay the points. I just don't see it.
I would lay the points and be comfortable with it.
The way that this offense is playing, they have no running game, no weapons, no tight end play. Offensive line is shit. Joe Flacco is a shell of himself from what he was when he was a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Lay the points.
I mean, I'm pretty confident. I mean, can you drive down to the Borgata tomorrow and put a wager on it for us? I'd lay 13 points.
We'll be there next week. I mean, I can put something down for us for the Kansas City game.
We got it. We got to see that spread.
Well, right. No, it won't be next week. It'll be the week after.
So that's
the week after they're playing the
Patriots on Monday Night Football.
Right? Is it the Patriots?
Yeah, it's the Patriots for the world to see.
Yeah. So I mean, I can certainly go down to the sports deck and.
Yes, we
you
will.
Can Venmo me some money.
We will absolutely make a contribution to maybe not that game, but a game during that week. That'll be fun.
Yeah, just send me some money and I can go down to the sports book.
We are 1-1, or 1-4-1 with you doing that. So let's keep that undefeated streak going. All right, we'll talk about that next week.
It's a joke.
Oh, it's so much fun though. Man, all right. I don't know what else there to say. I think we've spit enough venom tonight. I'm a little happy. Giants got a win. You got to, get your frustrations out once again.
As much as 2 weeks ago when I said there's no point for the Giants to win a game, and there probably still isn't, but this division is so bad, and you got two back-to-back division opponents, then the week, so then you play Tampa Bay, then you play Washington and Philly again back-to-back. I forget if it's Philly, Washington, Washington, Philly, whatever. But you get to play these teams, these two teams, four times in the next 5 weeks. If by some miracle you can sweep that, because, again, Philly has their problems with the injuries. They just took care of Washington. I mean, geez, you come out of that 4-5, 4-6, because you probably lose to Tampa Bay. You're right there. As stupid as it, and as ridiculous as that sounds, Dallas is going nowhere but backwards. I know we didn't really crap on them today, but, listen, they did enough of that themselves on Monday Night Football. Jesus, I mean, that was awful. That was absolutely awful. You want to talk about not winning a game? I'm sure Dallas will win a game here and there, but, man, it's bad. They can't stop anyone. So.
Nope.
No. So I'm predicting, I want to predict a win. I'm going to say that they at least cover. We both will lay the points with Buffalo and take them. Listen, I hope I'm wrong. I hope they don't just lay an egg. Just again, it's a national TV game. Don't lay an egg again. I don't want to see a turnover fest. If they limit the turnovers, I think we both agree. If they limit the turnovers, this is a winnable game. Will they win it? I don't know, but it's winnable, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, agreed. I agree.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the only, again, to my point, the only way that the Giants can win is if Daniel Jones outplays Carson Wentz, and the way that he's playing right now, I just don't see it, regardless of weapons or not weapons, because both offenses don't have weapons.
Right.
Carson Wentz can physically win a football game for you by himself. That's it.
That's it. Well, we will. Luckily, it's a short week, so we're not going to have to wait a long time to see it. So, Thursday night, Giants Eagles.
Before we go, I know that we're running out of time. I just want to ask you one question. Okay?
All right.
New England looked like crap this weekend.
I'm sure you love that too, by the way.
I love it.
So
it
both of our
makes me happier.
Both of our hated rivals got embarrassed this weekend.
Should you be concerned about New England?
You mean turning it around or just New England not playing
well?
They didn't
play well. I mean, yo, Cam, this team will only go as far as Cam brings them, and Cam looked terrible this weekend. He looked awful.
I
don't want to get into a long debate about it. All I want to say is, if it were me, and I'm a Jets fan, obviously rooting hard against New England, they don't look very good.
So are you saying the Jets have a possibility to beat the Patriots?
No.
That's not what you're saying. Okay, you're not saying. We're not going there
yet.
No,
all I'm saying is that this is the worst September to October stretch that Bill Belichick has ever had with the New England Patriots.
And it doesn't get any easier for the next four games, Niners, Bill, which the Niners have apparently risen from the dead because they looked like crap the first bunch of weeks, and now they just, you know, they got steamrolled by Miami and took care of whoever the hell they played. I don't even remember who it was, but I know
the Rams.
The Rams. Then they play Buffalo. Then they play the Jets. Then they play the Ravens. I mean, your next three game, your next three out of your next four games are against really tough defenses. So, we're going to know where the Patriots stand in the next few weeks. And I know you're going to be rooting for an 0-4 spot there.
Yeah, but listen, I think that they still beat the Jets. I would be, as a Patriots fan, I would be slightly concerned just because it's not up to the expectation as a Patriots fan.
They have been peppered with nothing but good football and wins for 20 years. You and me have been suffering through year after year after year of garbage football. At some point, all these Patriots fans who know nothing but women, but winning, were eventually going to know what the other side feels like.
Yep. I hear you, but I'm just saying, like, it just, to me, I would be slightly disconcerted. I mean, they don't really have an offensive line presence. They have no running game. Their outside weapons are not very good. Their defense, granted, a lot of their defensive players opted out this year, so that probably has a lot to do with it. But
even still, you put all of that stuff aside, they're not they don't look like a very cohesive football team right now. And I don't know if it's a product of coaching, which obviously Bill Belichick is on, you know, on the pedestal of what coaches should be. I just wanted to see what you thought about it. I mean,
let's see
what the next couple of weeks are.
Right.
But
my initial thought, I think all of our thoughts when the season started is all the players that opted out, the players that left the defense, no Brady, Edelman's, you know, not getting any younger. There's still no running back. I mean, they have like a 4-person running back committee. If you have, what's the old saying? If you have two, you don't have one. I mean, they have never had a bell cow running back for as long as I can remember. We had said so many times, where are the weapons, right? And everyone's like, oh, the Patriots will be fine. They got Belichick, they got Cam Newton. I mean, we've said it collectively between ourselves, like, who are they going to throw the ball to? Like, you're counting on guys like Damir Bird to be your wide receiver, and it's not happening right now. So I'm not surprised. I think this is what I thought they were going to be without Brady the whole year. We saw it last year, even with Brady. You can see that there was cracks in the armor. And now you take Brady away, and now it's just – it is what it is. So I'm actually not surprised, to be quite honest with you.
All right.
And in case anyone's wondering, I finally got a win in fantasy, so I am winless no more.
Good for you.
In case anyone cares.
I am 6-0 and just cruising along.
In case anyone cares. No one cares about fantasy teams.
Nope.
All right, everybody. We'll be back next week, and we'll see whether or not it's another – joyful one or just another, you know, another usual, I don't even have a word for it, but bad football week. So, all right, everybody, we'll talk to you next week.